abuse my body and hurt her in that manner. So when she says, "You get sat in a chair today," then I felt that I was probably good enough after resting this morning to stand up. But she said, "You're going to sit in the chair." I said, "Okay." So I hope my life will be a testimony in that manner, and that Don and I's marriage will be also, that you'll see that we do submit to each other, because that's what we're supposed to do. Just touch on a couple of things for the announcements, which already ran through most of it. But we do have the date and location for the church picnic. I don't remember the date, but the location, I believe, is at Roosevelt Lake, the one that's out west that we went to a couple years ago. Same place we went to a couple years ago. Parking's all paid for. We just need to make sure everybody's got parking passes. We've got those all taken care of. So that's where we'll be going. I can't remember which weekend, but we'll have all that. What? June 26th. See, Peggy. June 26th will be the church picnic, and we'll make sure everybody has a parking pass. Every vehicle that goes up there, so you don't have to pay for parking. Also, tonight, as has been said, we will be discussing the possibility of adjusting the schedule. It's not written in stone that we're going to adjust the schedule. Nothing's written in stone as far as that goes. What we're doing is we're going to discuss it. So if you are interested in it, if you have a feeling as to whether or not we should or shouldn't adjust our schedule for the summertime, come and speak. If you can't be there for some reason and you have a strong opinion on it one way or the other, make sure you tell somebody who's going to be there so that they might speak on your behalf. It has been a busy week since we got back last Saturday. I'd been a full week in Virginia and been running around the week before, and then Saturday, a week ago, we spent flying home all day in airports and on airplanes, and then church on Sunday, and I had an extra service at the nursing home, and then in the office all week. And then Thursday I scraped and primed and painted my garage door. And then went Friday, Jason and I took a road trip to Wisconsin to go see his grandpa and grandma out there. So when Donna says I was pushing it, I probably was. But it's all done in the same cause, and that's the cause of love. And as I've been preaching through the book of John, love has been pretty much the central theme. It is the theme of John. It's the gospel of love that Jesus came and died on the cross for my sins and for your sins. And how Jesus personified love. How he was indeed love incarnate. We're going to change channels just a little bit today. Because it's been holding up love for us to see. Today, we're going to turn the face and look at hate. This is not the theme. This is the antithesis to the message of this gospel. But it is what the topic is today. So if you want to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, we'll be starting with verse 18. I did not get a slide set made this week. I was planning on doing a lot this week that I didn't get done. I don't seem to be able to work as fast or as much as I used to. But I'm getting stronger and better every day. So with that, I have been a full week without any narcotics, but which is good because I'm preaching, so I shouldn't be on drugs. But fortunately, that has to be just a little bit more vulnerable to the pain from pushing it. So here we go. Gospel of John, chapter 15, starting with verse 18. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I have spoken to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in the law. They hated me without reason. Let's end there. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. But now, Lord, help us to deal with this scripture passage which you've given us this morning. Lord, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to guide us through this, to illuminate your word so that we can understand. Give us full and complete understanding, Lord, that you would have for us this day. Because through the wisdom of the world, we will not have understanding. All we will have is confusion. But Lord, through your Holy Spirit, you can counsel us and direct us and guide us and show us how to apply this to our lives this day. And that's what we need, Lord. So illuminate these scriptures for us now. Anoint me to preach and teach in such a manner that each person here receives that which they need this day. Might no one go away from your table this morning hungry, Lord. That is for that spiritual table, for spiritual food. That they each receive a banquet. Not to overflowing and too full, Lord, but just enough to satisfy and to strengthen. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's the definition of love, anybody? I'm hearing a couple people. Selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. So what do you think the definition of hate is? Selfish. Disloyal. Malevolent intent towards another person. What's malevolent? What's malevolence? It's benevolent is you want what is best for someone else, regardless of whether they want it or desire it, whether it's you want to do what's best for them. Malevolent means that if you have malevolent intent towards someone, you want what's worst for them, no matter what. You want them to suffer. You want them to lose. You want them to be taken down. The one, love, you want that person lifted up. With hate, you want that person taken down. That boils it down. What Jesus is tells us here that the world hates you. The world hates you and me. Why? Because the world hates Jesus and hates the Father. The world hates us for Jesus' sake, for the sake of Jesus' name, who Jesus is. Many of you have probably seen or heard people preach or teach that if you're having trouble in your life, it's because you're in sin. It could be. But I also want you to know you might be having trouble in your life because the world hates you. There is a malevolent intent towards you. There is a person, the embodiment of evil, the prince of fallen angels, Satan, who leads all those who have fallen. We're told that's a third of the starry host of heaven. Plus, all those people who have not yet received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the world, as we're speaking about here. Because once we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're no longer of the world. We're of the kingdom of heaven. But the world hates us. It hates you. And if somebody hates you, they are going to do what they can to bring you harm. I am going to jump forward and read the rest of the little bit of what I was going to read this morning. But I want you to listen to this with the understanding of what hate is. As I read the rest of this, there's a couple verses that are just going to pop out at you. So please, we finish up as I'm going to go through 16:4, starting with verse 26 of John 15. It says, "When the Counselor comes to you, I will send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father. He will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you, so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I do not tell you this at first because I was with you. This is not an anti-Islamic message, but if you have read the Quran or know somebody who has, they will tell you that in the Quran, Muhammad wrote that by killing Christians, they are doing a service to God. That those who are non-believers, infidels, must either be converted or killed. And in doing so, they are doing a service unto God. Before Muhammad ever walked the earth, we have the example of Saul, before he became Paul, who stood and gave his agreement to the votes being cast against Stephen as he was stoned to death. We read about that in Acts. And those people who were stoning Stephen, they did so thinking that they were serving God. We're told by our Lord, and I've told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I have warned you. We need to be warned. We shouldn't be walking around thinking that somehow we are protected from all harm or evil. We are ultimately, when we receive Jesus our Lord and Savior, we're saved. Okay? None can snatch you out of my hand, is Jesus' word. The enemy can't steal our souls. He can sure make us miserable. Anybody here ever been miserable? Come on. It's not always because of the world. Sometimes it's because flat out you're a sinner and you messed up and you were paying the price. But sometimes it's the world coming against you. And you need to recognize and understand that you're going to come against those trials. And Jesus is warning us about it ahead of time. Why? Forewarned is forearmed, right? If you knew an attack was going to come at a certain time, you'd be ready. But if you were unsure of the time, but you knew the attack was going to come, you would work to become even more prepared. And that's what we need to do. I was amazed when I read through that first seven verses that I read this morning, verses 18 through 25. Yeah, that's seven. That he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven times he uses hate or hated. Hates. And everywhere else, talking about the love of God. If you love me, you will obey me. Now he's telling us, those who don't love me, they hate me. And they're not going to obey me. If they obey me, they'll obey you. But you know what? They're not going to obey you because they hate me. That's what Jesus tells us. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. So those who are Christians, those who have Jesus as their Lord and Savior, will love one another. That's how we're supposed to tell one another. But those who aren't, hate you. Now, hate can be overcome with love. Sometimes. Not always. But it's certainly what the Lord has used to overcome. Is it not? He came, He lived on, and then He died on the cross. Talks about His pierced hands. The song that we were singing earlier. His dying on the cross. Why? Because of His love for us. His love for the Father. So He would obey the Father and bring salvation for you and for me. And through His love, He overcame our hate for Him. Because until we received Him, we hated Him. Those are the options. Some people say, oh no, I don't hate God, I just don't know Him, or I'm not sure about Him. It's one or the other. It's one of the reasons why we see the terrible truth that we are most likely to die from the hand of a loved one than we are from anybody else. Because love and hate, it doesn't take much sometimes to go from the one extreme to the other. There are extremes, there are different poles, but they're actually the same side, they're different sides of the same coin. And you can only have, you can only show one side of the coin when you lay it down. Which one is it going to be? It's either going to be heads or tails. Is it going to be love or hate? And if you don't love God, you hate Him. If you don't love one another, according to what He's told us, we don't love Him and we hate. So we, when we disobey, we're acting in a hateful manner towards Him. It may not be that we hate Him, but sometimes we act in a hateful manner. Anybody here ever done that to somebody you love, that act in a hateful manner? The world hates you. But keep in mind that it hated me first, He said. I don't want to get all morose and down here, but this is where we're at in the Scripture. But we need to remember that love overcame hate and continues to overcome hate. If you beat upon hate with love, I believe it can and will be overcome. It just takes enough love. You have to overpower it, coming from all sides. Right now, I couldn't take Ed. How many of you agree with me on that? If I was to try to take down Ed, you think he'd like wipe me up? I couldn't hobble over there fast enough. If he just wants to stay away, he's been out running, you know, 5-6 miles a day. He's up to 10 miles at a time. You know, I'm lucky to get 10 blocks. I'm much less running those 10 blocks. But if I hit Ed from one side and I just walked around and I picked the smallest, Emmett hits Ed from another side, and I'll just pick somebody strong and pretty agile, we'll get Nora Jean to hit him from the other. Ed, Molly, those two will take him. We'll get a couple of these kids on there. In fact, I saw that at camp one time. We had a counselor named Ward. Yeah, Jason remembers this. Ward was 26 years old. 6 foot, what? Six? What? About that. 250, all muscle, maybe 230, somewhere in there, all muscle. I saw him taken down by a bunch of little girls all about yay tall. You know, he thought it was funny at first. You know, he had something like, oh, you know, all this. It's like the Lilliputians in Gulliver's Travels, taking him down. And our love towards the world sometimes is like that. And we just all take it on from different sides. All together, it will be overcome. That's the encouragement I want to leave for you today. How can we do that? How will we know when and how? Well, the Lord's sending us the Counselor. When the Counselor comes, I will send to you from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, and He will testify about me. And you also must testify. We've got to testify to the love of Christ. One of the best ways to do that is loving each other and loving those who hate us. We're told to love our enemy. That's how we testify about Jesus. Not just by saying, Jesus loved you and died on the cross. And that's important that we tell them that. But if we don't show them that, it's just words. Jesus concludes with saying, I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. prophecy while he was there, he was able to overcome any obstacle they had. He was able to protect if he felt that was what was needed to be done. But now he sent us out into the world with a counselor. And he's given us the Holy Spirit, that self-same power that was resurrected Jesus, and that's there for us too. But we need to learn to use it rightly and properly, according to the guidance and direction and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And when we do so, and we do so concertedly, that is all together, hate will be overcome and love will triumph and prevail. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love. Lord, I thank you for each person who loves me who's here. Lord, I thank you that you've given me all these people to love. Friends, family, church members together. For Lord, we are all indeed members of one body, which you are the head. Father, you've told us to be ready. So Lord, when those attacks come against us because the world does hate us, Lord, might we respond not with hate in return, but with love. Might we seek out our brothers and sisters to help us to return that love so that we can overcome that hate and win out for the honor and glory of your name's sake. Amen.